Lecture 26, Assyrian Expansion.
In the last lecture, we discussed Assyria as a new member of the five nation-states predominant in the Amarna era during the 14th century BC. At that time, Assyria was challenging Mitanni in northern Mesopotamia, and over the next few centuries, it would draw on its increasing military expertise to push Mitanni out and to establish Assyrian control in the region. Before we begin our set of lectures on Assyria, I should explain some of the spellings of the names, variants, that you might encounter as you do more reading on the period. Assur is the god of Assyria, and you will see it spelled A-S-S-U-R or A-S-H-U-R. Both are the same symbol in cuneiform. The problem is in the English language. We can't quite get the spelling figured out, so this is a matter of continuing scholarly debate. They are the same individuals. You'll also see that Ashur is often one part of a ruler's name, and this shows his connection to the god and also his representation of the city and later the empire. In this lecture, we will take a quick look at the events of the late second millennium, a time when there was extensive disruption throughout the Near East. And then we'll focus our attention on two 9th century rulers, Ashurnasirpal II and Shalmaneser III, who were critical leaders in the expansion of the Assyrian Empire. These kings represent the familiar qualities of victorious general and zealous builder that have characterized Mesopotamian rulers up to this point. But the venues through which they memorialized their success are typical of Assyrian culture. During the 13th century, Assyrian rulers proved to be quite adept at expanding and consolidating the power of their state. In the Middle Assyrian period, which lasted from approximately 1500 to the end of the second millennium, Assyrian records claimed tribute throughout most of northern Mesopotamia and even west onto the Euphrates River. They established settlements in the land that they had conquered, usually strung along key trade routes. After a period of impressive expansion and administration of the territory, in the 13th century, the next two centuries saw a slow but unstoppable retreat of the Assyrian borders along the upper Tigris River. We've encountered the Middle Assyrian period before in our discussion on laws, and you might remember that it was the Middle Assyrian laws that were so restrictive about women's dress and their behavior in the court. We speculated then that it might have something to do with the level of violence that was promoted in the empire. We'll come back to that idea of violence and the Assyrian culture in the next few lectures. This scenario of withdrawal in the late second millennium can be seen throughout the Near East. From 1200 to 1000, there is extensive evidence for turmoil throughout Egypt into Mesopotamia. Written records decreased significantly in all of these regions, or even disappeared as the central governments collapsed. As you can imagine, this makes it very difficult to know what's going on in the period, but it's also one that's very exciting for scholars. The only situation that's more exciting for a scholar is to have a complete lack of evidence. That allows speculation. And that, in comparison with having a lot of evidence, are really the two factors that we're looking for. Scholars have applied various theories to explain this situation in the late second millennium. What few texts do survive come from Egypt, in the form of papyrus records, or more often in inscriptions on the Egyptian king's palaces, recording their victories in repelling invaders.